إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Inshallah, we'd like to begin, brothers, and if there are any sisters here, sisters, with this important aspect of our belief, which is al-mala'ikatul abrar, the extremely pure and righteous angels. This subject is probably well known to all of you brothers here, if not probably the vast majority of you, and some of you who are Muslims, for lack of better explanations, born Muslims, quote unquote, you probably learned about these things when you were young boys in your country. And so, once again, these things are probably not new to you. So, inshallah, I beg your indulgence and ask you to be patient. And maybe, it's maybe one or two things you can learn that's new. The book that I use as the major reference, actually I use about two or three sources, but the main book that I'm using for this topic on the angels and also on the jinn is written by one of our sheikhs, whose name is Omar Sulaiman Al-Ashqar, Hafizahullah, may Allah preserve him, and two of the numerous books that he's written. One of them is called Alim al-Malaika, which is the world of the angels. And the other one is called Alim al-Jinn wa Shayateen, the world of the jinn and shaitan. And it's a very, very good book. Both of them are very good books. Alhamdulillah, may Allah preserve the Shaykh. Ameen. And there was also some other sources that I used from one of our other Shaykhs, who's Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, Hafizahullah. And there's no special book that he has on the specific subject of angels, but I gathered up some of the comments that he has made and put them together. So none of these things are from me, of course, because I'm not qualified to do any of this. I'm just drawing from the people of knowledge. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has given us this being as a source of guidance for us in our way of life, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created everything, as he says in the Quran, خَالِقُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He created everything. Of the things that he created creatures which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls al-mala'ikatu, and belief in these creatures is a part and parcel of our belief, our general belief in the unseen or in the hidden things. Yarhamakallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, Alif Lam Mim, ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب. Alif Lam Mim, and no one knows the meaning of this except Allah. And it doesn't mean, as Muhammad Ali and some other people say, I, Allah, am the best knower. Only Allah knows the meaning of those three letters. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is a book, in it there is no doubt, it's a guide for those who have taqwa. And then Allah starts describing the people who have taqwa. الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the things that have been hidden from us. Not necessarily that they're unseen, but they're not being seen now by us. And sometimes, of course, they can't be seen at all, except by other creatures. Nonetheless, this is a very important aspect of our belief of Iman, the belief in the unseen. Among that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, the meaning is in English that righteousness is not to turn your faces to the east or the west, but righteousness is believing in Allah and believing in the last day, believing in the angels and the books and the prophets, etc. So part of our belief is of course believing in the angels, and of course we have the Hadith Jibreel, where he came, Jibreel that is, alayhi salam, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while the companions were sitting with him, and Umar radiallahu anhu was narrating this hadith, and he said that he came with extremely white clothing and extremely black hair. He had no signs of travel on him, and none of us knew who he was, and he asked the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a series of questions. He asked him first, فَأَخْبَرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ, so inform me, Muhammad, after sitting in front of the Prophet and putting his knees to his knees and his hands on his thighs. And some of the scholars differ on whose thighs that his hands were put on. Was it put on Jibreel's thighs, or was his hands put on the Prophet's thighs? Nonetheless, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, inform me what is Islam, and the Prophet of course answered him correctly. And then he asked the Prophet, أخبرني عن الإيمان, and inform me of what is Iman. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said with his blessed tongue, and تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله, all the way to the end of the statement. It is to believe in Allah and al-malaika, the angels and the books and the messengers in the last day, and the divine decree, the good and evil of it. So we know that this is an important part of our belief, and without it we will not be believers. Without believing in the angels, we will not be believers. The plural word for angel in Arabic, as we just mentioned, is al-malaika, and the singular word is malak. And though Brother Imran, if he doesn't remember, he asked me not to go into the root of the word, but to take up time, to fill up the time, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to disobey Imran. Just do it anyway, inshallah. This word, malak, the root of it, according to the scholars of Arabic language and grammar, they say that the root of this particular word, malakun, was ma'lakun, with a hamza. Ma'lakun. And then, eventually, the word in Arabic, the hamza, the ma'lakun, it took place, the hamza moved back and took the place of the lam. And so now it became from ma'lakun to mal'akun. Now the hamza took the place of the lam. Ma'lakun, mal'akun. Like that. And then eventually the hamza went away altogether. As time went on, the Arabic language developed this particular word to do its transformation. It became ma'lakun to mal'akun to mal'akun. Hamza went away altogether. I don't know where it went, but alhamdulillah, the word is malak now. This word, malak, it comes from the word aluka, al-aluka, which means risala. It means risala, and risala in English means a message. It means a message. So linguistically, the word angel means a messenger. That's the literal meaning of the word angel. It means a messenger. And we know this is the case also religiously, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Fatir, after describing himself somewhat, Allah says that he ja'il al-malaika rusulan, that he made the angels rusulan, he made them messengers. So the angels are heavenly messengers, Jibreel being the chief of them, sent to the earthly messenger, which is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end, of course, of the prophets and messengers. So the angels are actually messengers. And the word itself, once again, that the word comes from, means ar-risala, means a message. when we look very closely to this topic of the al-malaika, the angels, there's some important points, one or two of them, that need to be borne in mind. First of all, anytime we study anything or we discuss anything in Islam, we want to learn anything of Islam, we should try our best to purify our intentions. No matter what we do, we should try to purify our intentions. How does this fit with studying about the angels, discussing the angels? That's the second point. The second point is that we don't want to learn all of this information about the angels just to brag or to show off, to make people think we have a lot of knowledge about the detailed aspects of the angels. But what we want to do is we want to learn about the angels so that we can become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that these are creatures that we cannot see, but they see us, and they have a direct effect on the affairs of our lives, no matter what type of life it is, whether it is our religious life, quote-unquote, or our secular life, that they're always present, they're always performing their duties and functions, and that in their relationship to us, the believers, and also their relationship to the disbelievers, the kuffar, needs to always be borne in mind by the Muslim. You know, once again, that we should not be learning about the angels just to have knowledge and be like donkeys carrying large volumes of books. We should be learning about the angels so that we can, it'll aid us to keep our duty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, firstly, of course, because we're commanded to believe in the angels. This is a part of our belief. But once again, secondly, so that it can help us attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we want to do, inshallah, how we want to approach this, because I don't think we're going to have a whole lot of time, even though they say we have about 5 or 6 hours, we want to give a small format of how we're going to discuss this, inshallah. There are four basic things that we need to know. We've already dealt with it, believe it or not, and that first one is the existence of the angels. That the angels exist. The wujud al-malaika, that the angels exist. That's the first thing. The second thing that we need to believe in is that the angels have names, some of them of which we've learned and some of them of which we haven't learned. Learned meaning some of them of which we've been informed of and some of them of which we have not been informed of, that they have names. That's the second thing. The third thing, and this aspect, the second aspect, can be done in brief. Our belief in the angels and their names is in brief and in detail. Brief meaning, for instance, those names that we haven't learned, and in detail, those names that we have been informed of by Allah Azza wa Jal or by our Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The third thing is that the angels have attributes. The angels have attributes. So they have asma and they have awsaf or sifat. They have attributes or descriptions. Some of them, of what we've learned directly from Allah or His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and some we haven't. And fourthly, are the a'mal, the duties and the wazaif, the occupations or the functions of the angels. These are the four basic things we need to know about the angels. Number one, the existence. Number two, the names. Number three, the attributes. Number four, the what? The duties and the functions. All right. This can be further divided to, for lack of better words, the internal aspects of the angels. For lack of better words, the internal aspects of the angels and the external attributes of the angels, or better, the internal attributes and the external attributes. We'll leave it like that. And then we'll explain it, inshallah, and you can come back. They call it khalqiyya and khuluqiyya. Khalqiyya and khuluqiyya. Okay. The first thing that we want to know is, after knowing they exist, and we know that they exist because Allah said so. He just mentioned at least one verse, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that they exist not explicitly, but by mentioning them, he's saying that they exist. When the hadith, we have the hadith of Jibril. After this, their names. These names that has been that we've been informed of the angels, according to the scholars of Islam, of what has been given to us from Quran and Sunnah, there are some of them that have been specifically given to us. Three of them, the three top angels, the three chief angels, in order of priority, because Allah has excelled all parts of His creation and everything that He created, either explicitly or implicitly, we know that all parts of creation have counterparts or things that are the same genus that have superiority over the thing of the same genus of that thing. So, for instance, there are some minerals among the mineral world that have superiority over others. This is either religiously or secularly. What I mean by this is, for instance, a common stone that we may find in this masjid that someone brings in with their foot or something that you find in the street or in the park. This is of the mineral world, a rock that you find in the street. A diamond is also of the mineral world, and so is gold, and so is platinum. But the superiority of platinum is much higher than gold and diamond, and the superiority of the three of them is much higher than that rock that you find in Central Park. You see? So, explicitly or implicitly, we know that everything in this creation, and Allah mentions in the Quran, has superiority over something else. Among the plant world, we have some plants, just by virtue of the fact that Allah mentions them in the Quran. There's some things of the vegetation kingdom that have superiority over other things of the vegetable kingdom. And the animal kingdom is the same way. There are animals that have some superiority. For instance, when you look at the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, where he mentions the angels, appropriately, the angels recording the individuals who come into Jum'ah, according to the rank of the person that they come in, they will be as though they sacrificed this animal. Then the person who comes in later than him is though he sacrificed that animal. Then the person who comes in later than him is that animal, then that animal, and the last one is what? An egg. Alright? But the first animal is what? A cow? A camel. So that shows that this, in the sequence, that camel and the next animal that came after that must have some superiority, because it is though that person sacrificed this thing in Mecca, the person that came in first, and the angels let it down. Alright? So there's some animals that definitely have superiority over others. Absolutely, without a question. To give you an example, to go back, that just came to my mind, alhamdulillah, can someone give a rational proof? Well, transmitted proof, either by Quran or Sunnah, and or a rational proof of what would be the most superior mineral. Yes. The black stone that's embedded in the Kaaba. Definitely there's no stone better than that, right? So everything has superiority. And of course the human beings have superiority also. There are some human beings, technically we could say they're the animal kingdom. Some people may differ with that. But definitely we have some animalistic qualities that Allah has given us. So for the sake of conversation, we can say that the human beings are the best of the animal kingdom, for the sake of conversation. And please, you brothers who are in college, who are studying these theories, please don't jump on me afterwards, and Darwin and all these things. The best of the human beings are who? Black people? Oh, no, the best of human beings are not prophets. The best of human beings are Muslims. And the worst of creatures are the kuffar. The best of the human beings are, remember, the best of the animal kingdom is the human beings. The best of the human beings are the Muslims. The best of the humans are the Al-Anbiya, the prophets. The best of the prophets are who? The messengers. The best of the messengers, and that's for those who believe that there's a difference between the prophet and the messenger. And the best of the messengers, Ulul Azm. What the scholars call Ulul Azm, the five. There's no absolute proof that This is not just to say absolute proof, but the alhamdulillah, the scholars of Islam have deduced that there are five that have superiority over the rest. Then, of course, over them, the most superior, without a doubt, is Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the same way with the angels. There are some angels who have different positions with Allah, and the top one, without a doubt, is Jibreel. So regarding the name of the angel, his name is Jibreel, and he's mentioned in the Quran a couple of places, and his name is also pronounced Jibra'il. It's either pronounced Jibreel, and we don't have time for me to spell it, Jibreel, and then again, it would take up the time. No, that's okay. Jibreel or Jibra'il. Long. Jibra'il. Yarhamakallah. Then we also have the angel whose name is found in the Quran, at least one place, in Surah Al-Baqarah, whose name is Mikal. Mikal. And it's also pronounced Mika'il. He found this in Hadith. Mikael and Mikael. And then the next in order of priority and superiority after Jibreel and Mikael is Israfil. Israfil. His name you cannot find in the Quran. Israfil. His name can only be found in Hadith. These three angels, the first two found in Quran and authentic Sunnah, and the last one only found in authentic Hadith on the Sunnah. according to some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, their names mean in the language that they come from, because Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil are not Arabic. The etymological root, the origin of these words, is not the Arabic language. They're Hebrew. And according to some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, they say that Jibreel, Mikael, and Israfil means, in their language to us in Arabic, Abdullah. Means Abdullah. Because Jibr, from Jibreel, Mika from Mikael, and Israf from Israfil means Abd, slave. And Eel in that language means Allah. So Jibreel means Abdullah, Mikael means Abdullah, and Israfil means Abdullah. Allahu Akbar. So these are some of the names that we've been given. there are some other names that are mentioned either in the Quran or in the authentic Hadith of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that we need to know specifically. But before we mention them, there is a dua that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, authentic Hadith, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and by the way, brothers and sisters, if there are any here, once again, there are approximately 15 different du'a called du'a istiftah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make. Du'a istiftah are the du'as that he used to make after saying Allahu Akbar in salah, and then he would say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, of course, after A'udhu Billah. One of them, which probably are on the tongues of most of us, Subhanaka wa bihamdika wa tabaraka ismuka wa ta'ala jadduka wa la ilaha illaruk. That's one that's probably more common to us. But there are others. Inni wajjadtu wajhiya lilladhi fatara as-samawati wal ard wa ma ana minal mushrikeen. Inna as-salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati lillahi rabbil alamin. La sharika lahu bi dhalika umirtu wa ana awwalul muslimin. That's another one. And also, Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khataaya kama ba'adta bayna al-mashriq wal maghrib. But there are others. Approximately 15. But there's another one where the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was inspired by Allah through revelation to mention all three
of the angels' names that we just mentioned in this dua. He would say, Allahu Akbar, and then he would say, Allahumma Rabb Jibreel wa Mikael wa Israfil, Fatir as-samawati wal ard, Alim al-ghayb wa shahada, Anta tahkumu bayna ibadika fima kanu fihi yakhtalifun, Ihdini lima ikhtalafa fihi min al-haqq bi-iznik, Innaka tahdi man tasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. O Allah, my Lord, the Lord of Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil, the originator of the heavens and earth, to the end of the statement. And you can find this in some of the authentic English books on Salah. Inshallah. excuse me? I'm only doing a class on angels. I'm not doing a class on selling books. The next angel is the angel that is called Malik. Malik. And I'm not saying the next angel in order of superiority now. The first three were in order of superiority. I'm not saying Malik is the fourth one in superiority. I'm not saying that. But the next one we want to discuss is Malik. Malikun. This is the one, is Muwakkil bin Nar. Muwakkilun bin Nar. He's the one who's in charge of the hellfire. Na'udhu billahi min al-Nar. Say Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from the fire. May Allah accept our dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him in the Quran. He says, وَنَادَوْا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. Where he says, Malik, he says, they will be called, Ya Malik. We find this mentioned in the Quran. Malik, of course, once again, is the one who is in charge with the hellfire and the inhabitants of the hellfire. As for the angel that is in charge of we'll give it to you later, inshallah. We'll give it to you later. If you want, you can check. I have a fan over there. And the next angel that is mentioned is there's a fahras in the back. You can look at it. All right. وَنَادَوْا يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِي عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. The next angel, which is in charge of the Jannah, is called, listen to the emphasis, is called Ridwan. Ridwan. And I'm saying it's called because among the scholars of Islam, this name has not been confirmed. It's not been confirmed among the scholars of Islam that this is his name. Well, what do we mean by this? We mean by this is that the name Ridwan cannot, it's not sabit, it's not confirmed like the name Malik is confirmed. In other words, the authenticity of it in hadith is not absolutely confirmed that his name is Ridwan, but this is what the scholars of Islam have called him because of some narrations. Wallahu alam. Ridwan. Ridwan. As for the next one, it's not necessarily his name, but it's more like a description, is Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut. And of course this is mentioned in the Quran. And Imran inshallah will find the ayah. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَالَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وَكَّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَالَكُ الْمَوْتِ الَّذِي وَكَّلَ بِكُمْ ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ. And Allah says, the English translation is, say, the angels will gather you. This angel, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, Malakul Maut, will gather you. He is the one who's been, he's been entrusted to you. And then all of us will be returning to your Lord.
the name that that is common on the people's tongue for the angel of death is Israel, but that's not his name. There is not one authentic hadith to call the angel of death Israel. Do not call the angel of death Israel, because you don't have any proof for it. That's not his name. There's no authentic hadith for this. And we know it's not permissible to use unauthentic hadith, especially in terms of aqidah. Especially, not to mention other things. The next are the two angels, which are the interrogating angels, which are Munkar and Nakir. Munkar and Nakir. And these are the ones, of course, that are going to be asking us the questions. And just as a bonus piece of reference, a piece of information that we should, inshallah, we can gain some benefit from, the hadiths that mention the angels asking more than three questions, they're not authentic. There's some people who say the angels are going to ask four questions, five questions, six questions. What is your madhab? What is your imam? These hadiths are not authentic. They're not authentic. All the angels are going to ask, Munkar Nakir, is what? Man Rabbuka. Man Rabbuka. Who is your Lord? Ma Deenuka. What is your Deen? And Man Nabiyuka. Who is your Prophet? That's it. Three questions. That's it.
Munkar
and Nakir. Nakir. Munkar and Nakir. Right. There are some. One of the hadiths that mentions Munkar and Nakir is transmitted by At-Tirmidhi, and some of the scholars of Islam say that it's not possible to apply the words, the names Munkar and Nakir to these angels, because the word Munkar and the word Nakir have evil implications. They imply something bad. And more specifically, Munkar and Nakir imply, because the root of both of the words comes from the verb Nakara or Ankara Yunkiru in Kaw. It means to repudiate or reject something. So because of that, the scholars say that you shouldn't apply this to these names to these two angels, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا يَعْصُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah. The angels don't disobey Allah, and they do exactly what they're told. Whatever He commands them to do, they do exactly what they're told. So because of this, these two names shouldn't be applied to the angels, Munkar and Nakir. And because of that, they say that maybe there's some problems with this hadith of calling them Munkar and Nakir in the Tirmidhi. Wallahu subhanahu wa ta'ala alam. Allah knows best. Anyway, we know that they're going to ask us these questions. That's authentic. And we should prepare ourselves for it as best as possible. Because some of us, who, of course, alhamdulillah, we're all Muslims, but some of us may think that just because we say La ilaha illallah, that we're going to answer these questions correctly. And that may not be the case. May Allah grant us the opportunity to answer them correctly. I mean, as for the description, we'll talk about the descriptions of things that we've learned about the angels. The descriptions of the angels as far as their attributes, before we go there, inshallah, we'll combine this. When were they created? When were the angels created? And according to Sheikh Al-Ashqar, hafidhahullah, the one who wrote this book, and by the way, brothers and sisters, this is my own translation, so please bear with me. I'm not the best translator. And probably I'm closer to the worst translator, so please bear with my translation. according to the
Sheikh who wrote this book, Sheikh Al-Asqar, he says that we don't know when they were created. We don't know. The reason why? Anyone want to give the reason why? We don't know? Because there's no verse of Quran and no hadith explicitly saying when they were created. That's why we don't know. But we do know that based on the verse of Quran, it's implied that they were created before us. Because Allah says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And the English translation is that, remember when your Lord said to the angels, surely I'm going to place in the earth a khalifa. And the word khalifa here means who? Noah? Nuh? Prophet Nuh? Not Adam. Adam. It's not pronounced Adam. It's Adam, alayhi salam. So since the angels were asking about this creature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to place in the earth, this khalifa, meaning Adam, the human being, we know that the angels, from this is implied that they were created first. And since we're on the subject, I'd just like to make another point, bonus again, extra credit information, is that we should stay away from this, brothers and sisters, stay away from the concept. We should remove the concept from our minds and get the statement off of our tongues that Allah has a khalifa. Do not believe and do not say that Allah has a khalifa. Khalifatullah. This is a statement and a belief of shirk and kufr. To say khalifatullah is a statement of kufr, and to believe in it is a belief of kufr and shirk. Why? Because, yes. Because khalifa means either one of two things. It means, A, the one who is the khalifa is taking his place for, he's representing him because he's absent. He's absent. The makhluf is the person who the khalifa is standing in his place, filling his job. So, A, if we say that the human being is a khalifatullah, we're either A, saying Allah is absent, waliyadu billah, or B, a khalifa is one who is taking the place of someone who died, waliyadu billah, and Allah la yamut, he never will die. So, we can't say that the human being is khalifatullah, that the human being is Allah's representative on earth. Subhanallah, this is a very terrible statement. You see this in many books. You hear these people giving these lectures around the United States, and they're saying the human being is Allah's vicegerent. The human being is Allah's khalifa. He's his representative on earth. This is a statement of kufr. How can you represent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is always here. He's not going to die. He's not absent. No. The word khalifa in this ayah means harnan, harnun ba'd harn, or jilun ba'd jil. It means generation after generation or people after people. In other words, the khalifa is the khalifa for human beings. You see, as Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu became, or Ali radiallahu anhu became the khalifa for the Prophet when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam left and left Ali radiallahu anhu in his place in the bed, he was a khalifa for the Prophet because the Prophet was absent in that spot. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was the khalifa for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after the Prophet died. See, istakhlafa Abu Bakr. Alright? So, these are two examples of the meaning of khalifa in reference to Allah. We should not say that the human being is khalifatullah, the khalifa of Allah. No.
The verse for the Ya Malik?
No. That's what I said you were going to give it to.
Yes, 43.
Oh, 43:77. For the one that tells us about Malik, the keeper of the hellfire. Allah keep it away from us. I mean, and us out of it. The other one, قُلْ يَتَوَفَّاكُمْ مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. مَلَكُ الْمَوْتِ. Alright? So, we know that it's implied that the angels were created before the human being because they asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about this. Yes.
So the Khalifa that is mentioned in the Quran, I mean, it's not another, I mean, and the explanation for the term of Khalifa that is mentioned in the ayah.
I can't understand this.
No, the word, you mentioned that we are not, I mean, the Khalifa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, because number one, there's no verse in the Quran that says Khalifa to Allah. That's number one. I just mentioned it. I just said what Abdullah ibn Abbas and the other scholars of Sahaba said. They said it means generation after generation. That's what it means. It has nothing to do with Allah whatsoever. The word Khalifa should not be related to Allah. You see, for those who are studying Arabic, you know that this is called al-idafa, a construct phrase. Khalifatullah. You see? It's okay to say Rasulullah, because Rasulullah has that's the correct meaning. But when you say Khalifatullah, you're either saying that the Mudafun ilayhi, the second member of that construct phrase, is either absent or dead. What the other than that, Allah is not absent or dead.
So, I mean, saying just that I'm a Khalifa alone, I mean, is that
to created things, you can be a Khalifa, but not to Allah, Al-Khaliq. You can't be a Khalifa to Allah. Of what?
32?
11. Okay, inshallah, if we can, we should save the questions to the end. Inshallah. As we did with one who's better than me, Sheikh Abdullah. I'm sorry to you. I feel Allah. Okay. As for the material or the elements that the angels were created from, we know that the angels are created from light. They're created from a light. And this cannot be found in the Quran. This cannot be found in the Quran. This is only in the authentic hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we have the hadith of Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha wa an abiha that the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام said, خُلِقَتُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ وَخُلِقَ الْجَانُ مِنْ مَارِجٍ مِنْ نَارٍ وَخُلِقَ آدَمُ مِمَّا وُصِفَ لَكُمْ. Allahu Muslim. It says that the angels are created from a light, and that the jinn are created from a type of smokeless fire, and Adam was created from that which has already been described to you, meaning described to you in the Quran or Hadith. And when Allah's Prophet ﷺ said, خُلِقَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ نُورٍ, that the angels are created from a light, we should not use our rational thinking to say that it's this light above us, or flashlight, or candlelight, or sunlight, but we should just say, سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. That's it. It is the duty of the mu'min to just accept what the Prophet said and not try to rationalize on what type of light it is. Created from light, that's enough for us. As for the descriptions of the angels, from what we've been taught, that's been authenticated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know that the angels are mighty creatures. They're mighty, powerful creatures. And this is within the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to create them mighty, whether in their dimensions and or their attributes in order to carry out their function. This is within the infinite wisdom of Allah to do this. What I mean by this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never ever create a creature and not give them the capability to carry out what he wants them to do. Never. This would be unfair and unjust. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. Allah says in the Quran, and he is never unjust to any of his creatures. He's never unjust to anyone. So when Allah creates a thing, he always gives it the ability to carry out what he wants it to carry out. لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. He does not put a responsibility more than burden. He does not place a responsibility on a creature more than they can bear. So when he sent the prophets and messengers, he sent them, and the last one, of course, the Prophet Muhammad, he gave him the ability to carry out his job. So one of the attributes of the messenger, he was a vessel for the wahi, the revelation of Allah. Allah says, وَأَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى الْجَبْلِ رَأَيْتُهُ خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. If we would have revealed this Quran on a mountain, you would have seen it what? Crumble, you see. So the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so heavy that he had to endow the Prophet with the strength of 30 camels to handle it. Because if it had been revealed on a mountain, it would have crumbled it. You see? As Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, I was with my friend, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day, when he was leaning on my leg, and I knew that the revelation was coming down, because I felt like my leg was going to break in two from the weight of the revelation. And again, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, if the story is authentic, in Sirah, that one time he was on his animal called Haswa, and the animal just collapsed to his knees because of the weight of the revelation when the Prophet was riding it. So Allah never creates a creature unless he gives them the ability to carry out what they're supposed to do. You see? So someone who says that they cannot wear khimar, they cannot wear hijab, they cannot wear a beard if they can grow one, not because Allah didn't make you not be able to grow hair. All these things, you cannot make five prayers a day, you cannot fast in Ramadan, these things, these imply something else now, that we need to check our own nafs. Because Allah never, ever puts these responsibilities that He commands us to fulfill unless He gives us the ability to carry them out. This is a just Lord. Likewise, the angels, He's given them extreme power and strength. The top of them is Jibreel, alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on two occasions in his life as a prophet and messenger, saw Jibreel in his natural form. There's a hadith in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal with an authentic chain that says that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhuma says, رَأَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ جِبْرِيلَ فِي سُورَتِهِ وَلَهُ 600 جِنَاحٍ كُلُّ جِنَاحٍ مِنْهَا قَدْ فَضَّ الْأُفُقِ. It says that the Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام saw Jibreel in his natural form. In his natural form. And he had 600 wings. 600 wings. Each wing took up the whole horizon. قَدْ صَدَّ الْأُفُقِ. Each wing took up the whole horizon. Allahu Akbar. So we know that this is a very mighty creation. Then there's other times, of course, when Jibreel came in the form of a man. As the time, for instance, when he came to the Prophet, when Omar narrated the hadith, he asked little questions, and also when he came to Maryam and others. We also have the hadith that is collected by at-Tirmidhi with an authentic chain. It says the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about Jibreel, وَرَأَيْتُهُ مُنْهَبِطًا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ سَادًا عَظْمُ خَلْقِهِ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. He said, I saw Jibreel descending from the heavens, and his magnificent creation, the greatness of his creation, blocked out, sadden. It completely blocked out that which is between heavens and earth.
And in the surah called Takwir, which I don't have the translation for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a description of Jibreel. إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلٌ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ الْمَكِينِ مُطَاعٍ ثَمَّ أَمِينٍ. And someone can give a translation for this, inshallah, it would be very helpful. The verses 19 through 21, Surah Al-Takwir.
Verily this is the word of the most honorable messenger.
Speak up, Lord.
Verily this is the word of the most honorable messenger, endued with power, with rank before the Lord of the throne.
There's what? No, but yes. Muqa'in Thamma Amin.
With authority there and faithful to his trust.
Right. Of course, this messenger here, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ, it doesn't mean Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. It means Jibreel, which once again is another proof that he's a messenger, that angels are messenger. رَسُولٌ كَرِيمٌ, Allah calls him. ذِي قُوَّةٍ عِنْدَ ذِي الْعَرْشِ الْمَكِينِ. And then Allah says, وَذِي الْعَرْشِ, he's ذِي الْعَرْشِ. And of course this means رَبُّ الْعِزَّةِ, the Lord of Might, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we know that Jibreel is a very, very mighty angel, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave him that greatness for a reason. Then we have some other angels, that their descriptions, their attributes, show their greatness. There are others, which are called Hamalatul Arsh. Hamalatul Al-Arsh. Hamalatul Arsh. There's a hadith that is narrated, Abu Dawood narrated from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَأَذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ أَهَدٍ حَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ مَا بَيْنَ شَحْمَةِ أُذْنِهِ وَعَاتِقِهِ مَسِيرَةُ سَبْعُمِيَةِ عَامٍ. I have been given permission to discuss with you now, to give you, to inform you about one of the Hamalatul Arsh. Hamalatul Arsh are the angels that hold up the throne of Allah. We know that Allah mentions in the Quran, and also the Prophet ﷺ mentioned authentic hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created seven heavens. One heaven above the other, till we reach seven. And above that seventh heaven, as Allah mentions in the Quran, and the Prophet mentioned in authentic hadith, is water. Above the seventh heaven, as Allah mentions in the Quran, is water. And also the Prophet mentioned it. And Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, said, and that water is not like this water we have here. This is his opinion. It's very logical. That water is not like this water here. I guess we can call it heavenly water. Allah knows best. This is earthly water. Anyway, above that water are Hamalatul Arsh, angels, holding up the throne of Allah, and above that throne, not sitting, but in a manner befitting His Majesty. How? We don't know, but to believe in it is absolutely imperative on us, and a part of our belief is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angels that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, he said that he was given permission to discuss, Hamalatul Arsh, he said, what is between the earlobe, shahnati udnihi wa adiqihi, the distance between the earlobe and the shoulder of one of those angels is 700 years. 700 years. So this is just one example of these angels. Another example is collected by At-Tabarani in his Mu'jam al-Awsat with an authentic chain from Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَأَذِنَ لِي أَنْ أُحَدِّثَ عَنْ أَحَدِ الْحَمَلَةِ الْعَرْشِ رِجْلَاهُ فِي الْأَرْضِ الصُّفْلَى وَعَلَى قَرْنِهِ الْعَرْشِ وبين شحمة أذنيه وعاتقيه خفقان الطير 700 عام. ويقول أي الملك سبحانك حيث كنت. It says that I have been given permission by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inform you, to discuss with you about, give you information about one of the angels that holds up the throne of Allah. It says that his leg or his foot, one of the angels, reaches to the lowest parts of the earth. The lowest parts of the earth, and the top of him reaches up to the throne, one part of the throne of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And between the earlobe and the shoulder is 700 years. And this hadith, once again, has an authentic thing. If we check chapter 35, verse 1, Surah Al-Fatih, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, Alhamdulillahi fatir as-samawati wal-ardi ja'il al-malaikati rusulan uli ajihatin mathna wa thulatha wa ruba'a. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, he says, the English translation is, praise be to Allah, the originator of the heavens and the earth, who made the angels messengers, possessing wings, two or three or four. So we know that some of the angels have two wings, some have three wings, some have four wings, and in the case of Jibril, he has 500 wings, 600 wings. You're awake. As for their beauty, we know that the angels are extremely beautiful. We know that the angels are extremely beautiful. One of the reasons why we know it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, in Surah An-Najm, which I believe is chapter 53, and I may not always be able to give you the chapter, the number of the chapter, and the number of the ayah, or the verse. So inshallah, just bear with me. Inshallah, we can give it to you later. Chapter 53, verses 5 and 6. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى ذُو مِرَّةٍ فَاسْتَوَى. And the rough translation of this is, which one of mighty powers has taught him, one vigorous. But the highlighted point we want to mention here, because we're talking about the beauty of the angels, is the part that says, ذو مِرَّةٍ. ذو مِرَّةٍ. According to Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he said, ذو مِرَّةٍ, and I don't know how they translate it there. How do they translate it? Endowed with wisdom. Endowed with wisdom. ذو مِرَّةٍ. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, this translation is in contradiction to what Abdullah ibn Abbas said it meant. He said that ذو مرة means منظر حسن. منظر حسن. It means a beautiful, handsome, extremely handsome form. The view of him is very beautiful. Has nothing to do with wisdom whatsoever, according to the explanation of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. And Qatada, radiallahu anhu, one of the tabi'un, he said, it means, ذو خلق طويل حسن. ذو خلق طويل حسن. That he was possessing, Jibril possesses a very beautiful form, a very beautiful form. There are some others that says that it means ذو حصافة, ذو حضافة في العقل, which means basically that it has sound judgment, that Jibril has sound judgment, and Allah knows best. But what Ibn Abbas said in an authentic narration, that it means that ذو مرة means منظر حسنة. This is the one that we should take, inshallah, from Abdullah ibn Abbas, because he was turjuman al-Quran, as Abdullah ibn Mas'ud called him, not as the Prophet called him, by the way.
the nickname Turjuman al-Quran, the interpreter of the Quran, was not given to Abdullah ibn Abbas by the Prophet. It was given to Abdullah ibn Abbas by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. But it's famous on the tongues of the Muslims around the world that the Prophet called him the interpreter of the Quran. He did not. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud called him this. There's some other indications, and for those brothers who already know this, give the other brothers a chance to try to answer it. There's some other indications in Quran that the angels are beautiful. Can anyone provide us with an ayah that would give us proof that angels are very, very beautiful? Any other verses of Quran other than the brothers that I know that know the answer? Anyone? No? Okay, then I guess I have to give it, inshallah. In Surah Yusuf, the 12th chapter of the Quran, the 31st ayah. Surah Yusuf, you want to give it's a proof that the angels are beautiful. Chapter 12, verse 31.
When
she cut her hand. When the women were talking about the king's wife, and she wanted to prove to the women of the town, who were talking about the king's wife, that this man, you know, the reason why I acted the way I acted was because of what I'm going to show you now. So she gave all of them a cushion. She told them to sit here in this room. She gave each one of them a knife. And then she called out Yusuf, alayhi salam. And so when he came out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْنَهُ أَكْبَرْنَهُ وقطعنا أيديهن وقل حاشا لله ما هذا بشرا إن هذا إلا ملك كريم. Says when he came out, they saw him and they exalted. أكبرناه. They exclaimed and then cut their hands, started cutting their hands with a knife, and they said, Allah be blameless. This is not a human being. But this can be nothing but an honorable messenger, meaning an honorable angel. So this is a proof that angels are beautiful because they related his beauty to an angel. They related his beauty, Yusuf's beauty, to an angel. This also is a proof that the people before the Quran was revealed had some information from their prophets about angels. Because this is a thing of the unseen. There's no way they can make this statement unless a prophet has informed them, because the angels are matters of tawqifi. This is a tawqifi matter. And the only way we can know about matters of tawqif is that Allah's messengers or prophets have told us.
Yeah.
We also have some other proof about the angels being beautiful, and also the angels being handsome, but some of those narrations are not authentic, so we don't want to give them, inshallah. In some cases we will, so that you can be aware of them. Now, regarding the angels' shapes and forms, vis-a-vis the human beings, we want to discuss now, is there any resemblance regarding the shapes and forms of the angels and the human beings? Because we know that sometimes angels come in the forms of human beings. And we know that because they are beautiful creatures, and they are creatures that are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist the believers, we know, logically speaking, that the angels would like only those things which are good. Of course, from the Quran explicitly and also implicitly, we know that the angels love that which Allah loves, and Allah only loves those things that are good. So because of this, we also can extrapolate that the angels love things that are beautiful. Things that look good, things that smell good, we know the angels like these things. So when the angels come, or when an angel comes to a prophet, or anyone that's not a prophet, because the angels have also come to people who weren't prophets. And this is why some of the scholars of Islam believe that women can be prophets because some angels have come to women. Because of that, some scholars like Ibn al-Hazm and al-Qurtubi, rahimahumullah, and others believe that women can be prophets. Anyway, the angels would come in the form of men, and they would take the most handsomest form. And one of the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the angel Jibreel used to come in the form of, his name was Dihya al-Kalbi. He was a very, very, very handsome man, radiallahu anhu. And the angel Jibreel used to come looking close to his likeness. I should say, not the closest, but looking like him. In fact, we have a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is narrated by Muslim, and also in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, where Jabir radiallahu anhu says that the Messenger of Allah said, alayhi salatu wasalam, عُرِبَ عَلَيَّ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ فَإِذَا مُوسَى ضُرِبَ مِنَ الرِّجَالِ كَأَنَّهُ مِنْ رِجَالٍ شَنُوءَهُ وَرَأَيْتُ عِيسَى بْنَ مَرْيَمَ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مِنْ رَأَيْتُ بِهِ شَبْهًا عُرْوَةَ بْنُ مَسْعُودٍ وَرَأَيْتُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فَإِذَا أَقْرَبُ مِنْ رَأَيْتُهُ بِهِ شَبْهًا صَاحِبُكُمْ يعني نفسه وَرَأَيْتُ جِبْرِيلَ فإذا أقرب من رأيت به شبها دحية This hadith says in English that the Prophet said, the prophets were shown to me. The prophets were displayed to me when he made his ascension. And as for Musa, the example of Musa was from the men, from the people of Shanu'a. In other words, the closest thing that the Prophet ﷺ could describe how Musa looked was from some men, from the people from Shanu'a. And don't ask me who the people of Shanu'a are, but I don't know. I'm very happy to say I don't know, when I don't know. Alhamdulillah. He says, and I saw Isa, the son of Maryam, alayhi as-salam, and his likeness was closest to the likeness of Urwa ibn Mas'ud. And I saw Ibrahim, and behold, his likeness was closest to the likeness of Sahibukum, of your companion, your friend. And who is that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that means Ibrahim and Prophet Muhammad looked alike. And I saw Jibreel, and the closest of what he looked like was Dihya, meaning Dihya al-Kalbi, the companion. Subhanallah. That's a great honor for Dihya, radiallahu anhu. Now, there are some people who believe that angels are actually men in that form because they came to human beings in that form. But their proof is extremely weak. It's almost totally baseless. Because once again, the Prophet saw Jibreel in his natural form and he had 700 wings, right? 600 wings. Okay. You're right, because I don't have any students. Now, the angels themselves also have dissimilarities. They have dissimilarities regarding their creation and regarding their dimensions. Right? They have dissimilarities. In other words, the angels are not all on the same footing. In the surah called Saffat, I don't know the number of, the ayah is 164. He says in chapter 37, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا لَهُ مَقَامٌ مَعْلُومٌ, that the angels say,
There's not one of us, but he has his known position. Chapter 37, 164. And there's not one of us, the angels say, except he has his known position. Except he has his known position. Alright? And once again, we know that the angels have certain rank and closeness to Allah. So they're not on the same rank, all of them. Some are in the lower heavens, some are in the lesser heavens above that, and then above that, and then above that, and then above that. And then, of course, in the higher heavens, those who hold up the throne of Allah. But they have a higher rank just by virtue of their position in the heavens than the others. Unlike the people who were in the World Trade Building the other day on the top floor. You know, I don't think they like their rank. And we know also, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that the angels have wings, Mathna wa Thulatha wa Ruba', two or three or four, that these angels don't have the same status. Because there's some that have two, there's some that have three, there's some that have four, and there's some that have 600, who is Mikael, right? Jibreel.
Very good.
Some? Some have 600? I don't know. I shouldn't have said that. I'm glad you're awake. Just testing. Alhamdulillah. Somebody's awake. This is like a spark of kifaya. He's taking up the, he's getting the sin off of all of you for not knowing the answers. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the hadith of al-Bukhari, of course it's sahih, on the authority of Rifa'a, Rifa'a ibn Rafi' radiallahu anhu, it says that أن جبريل جاء للنبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم فقال ما تعدون من شهد بدرا فيكم. He said, what do you think of the status of those who are present at the battle of Badr from among you? قلت, I said, خيارنا, they're the best of us. قال, he said, وكذلك من شهد بدرا من الملائكة هم عندنا خيار الملائكة. He said, and likewise, those among the angels who were present at the battle of Badr, with us, Jibreel said, they are the best of the angels. So the best of the angels are, now we don't have to use our logical minds anymore and try to figure out who the best of the angels. The statement has been given to us. Hadithun, sahihun, sarihun, explicitly sound hadith that tells us who are the best of angels. The best of the angels are those who were present at the Battle of Badr. They are the best. Still keeping in line with the description of the angels, we know that the angels are not described or not characterized, or they do not possess the gender of male or female. We know this. And there's an error among some of the people, Muslims and non-Muslims, that the angels are male, as some groups, some of these so-called Islamic groups, they're not Islamic groups though, some of the so-called Islamic groups here in the United States of Satan, they say that the angels are black men. And the people in the time of the Prophet used to call the angels the daughters of Allah. The daughters of Allah. And we know that this, of course, is not correct. There is some statement by some people, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, and interestingly, I ran into someone who believes that the angels are male and female. There's this group who now claim to be Hebrews, they say that they make a blasphemous statement that Jibril is the father of Isa. That Jibril is the father of Isa. They attribute the male gender to Jibril, alayhi salam. And if you check chapter 16, verses 57 to 58, you'll find some statements. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Excuse me. I think this is not 16. This is... The 16? Verse 57 and 58. And do you have an English translation?
Yes.
Chapter 16, verses 57 to 58.
And they assigned daughters for Allah, glory be to Him, and right. For themselves sons,
yes.
They desire.
Yes.
When the news is brought to one of them of the birth of a female child, his face darkened.
Right. Yeah, it's very interesting that the Arabs of that time would assign shirkiyin. They would assign the angels or ascribe the angels as the daughters of Allah. But at the same time, if they had a daughter, if a girl was born, they would rinse in anger, Allah says, you know, wa huwa kareem. It would become angry. It's just illogical. They call the angels the daughters of Allah, but they bury their daughters alive. It doesn't make sense. See how ignorant they were. You know. SubhanAllah. Yes, sir.
So how did they have even sons without women? They killed all the women,
didn't they? Oh, okay. Yes. Yes, you're right. Absolutely. So, in Surah Safat, chapter 37, verses... verses 149 to 156, and once again I don't have this English translation, but the highlighted point of it is that the English translation says, to the best of my ability, now ask them, has your Lord daughters, whereas you have a son, or created we the angels females while they were present? So once again, you know, this notion of taking the angels as daughters is a blasphemous belief, and anyone who believes this absolutely has gone far, far astray. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in English translation of Surah Al-Zukhruf that and they make the angels who are the slaves of Allah, the beneficent, females. Chapter 43, verse 19. Chapter 43, verse 19. Now, as for their position, not position, but their places of dwelling, we know that the angels' places of dwelling, as mentioned in Surah Shura, and once again, I don't know the numbers of these surahs. Surah Shura, 42, verse 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ يُصَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. The heavens are about to split, my translation, يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْ فَوْقِهِنَّ, from above them, and the angels, they glorify and praise their Lord. يُصَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the description of, number one, glorifying and praising Him, but at the same time, He mentions that they are in the heavens. That they are in the heavens. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions in the surah called Fussilat, and there's what? 77, mashallah, alhamdulillah. Fussilat, that's not 77? Fussilat. Fussilat. Verse 38. Does someone have an English translation for this?
But if the unbelievers are arrogant, no matter for in the presence of thy Lord are those who celebrate his praises by night and by day, and they never flash.
Yes. Okay. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that the angels don't get tired, and they don't become fatigued, and they don't, and their position with their Lord is a very high position. And then again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Qadr, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر تنزل الملائكة والروح فيها بإذن ربهم من كل أمر. That highlighted point here is تنزل الملائكة والروح, that the angels descend from the heaven, and Jibreel والروح, the angel Jibreel also descends. And in the surah called Maryam, we also find it in the 64th ayah of surah Maryam. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ. It said, we do not descend except by the command, the order of your Lord. Once again, they do not become tired. I remember hearing a story. And sitting in the masjid one day, someone from among one of the Muslim groups was telling us the story of an angel flying, and he was flying and flying and flying and flying and flying and flying and flying until he became tired. So he went back to Allah to ask him for some more strength, and then Allah gave him some more strength, and he went on and he got tired again after flying at a long distance. So he came back again and asked for some more strength, and he went back again and started flying again. And then he got tired, and he sat down at a tree, and he asked someone, of course he was flying in Jannah, and he asked someone, you know, is this the Jannah of Prophet Muhammad? He says, no, this is just the Jannah of Abu Bakr. You haven't gotten out of the Jannah of Abu Bakr yet, you know. Now, you don't have to be Ibn al-Hajr al-Asqalani. You don't have to be one of the greatest scholars of hadith to know that this hadith is fabricated. At least, extremely weak. Why? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in the Quran, يُصَبِّحُونَ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ وَلَا يَفْتُرُونَ لَا يَفْتُرُونَ, that they glorify him night and day, and they don't, لَا يَفْتُرُونَ, which means لَا يَضْعَفُونَ, they don't become weak and fatigued. They don't do this. They don't flag. And also, once again, in Fussilat, not Mursilat, Fussilat, the ayah 38, which we just mentioned in English. فَالَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ يُصَبِّحُونَ لَهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ وَهُمْ لَا يَسْأَمُونَ. And according to the Arabic language, يَسْأَمُونَ means yumallilun, means become fatigued or tired. Angels don't become fatigued or tired. As for their number, the number of the angels, the number of the angels is only known by Sheikh who? No. Anybody know? What Sheikh knows the number of the angels? Any imam? Any prophet? No one knows how many angels there are except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Muddathir, the 31st ayah, وَمَا يَعْلَمُ جُنُودَ رَبِّكَ إِلَّا هُ. No one knows the junood, meaning no one knows the number of the angels, except your Lord, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But one thing for sure, we know that there's a whole lot of them. How do we know? We know that there's a whole lot of them because the Prophet ﷺ said, when he made his ascension to the heavens, concerning the house that is in the top heaven called Bayt al-Ma'mur. There's a house called Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur that you can find mentioned in the surah called At-Tur, the mount. And I don't know the number. 52, mashallah. 52, mashallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions Al-Bayt al-Ma'mur. Well, Bayt al-Ma'mur, the frequented house. Ayah 4. And Yusuf Ali, if my memory serves me correctly, Yusuf Ali, in his footnote of this verse 4, he says it means the Kaaba. This is totally incorrect. Totally incorrect. He would have really done a good job, because he translated it very, very, the translation, the oft-frequented house, the often-frequented house. This is a very good translation. But if he would have relied on the hadith of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, explaining the meaning of the ayah, he would have hit the mark. But instead, it seems as though he dealt with his rational thinking and said it meant the Kaaba. But in actuality, it means that house that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَإِذَا هُوَ يَدْخُلُهُ فِي كُلِّ يَوْمٍ سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ مَلَكٍ لَا يَعُودُونَ إِلَيْهِ آخَرٌ مَا عَلَيْهِمْ. In Bukhari and Muslim, where it says that this house, every single day, 70,000 angels go into it and they don't come out. 70,000 angels, not 7,000, not 17,000, 70,000 angels go in and don't come out. They don't return. Yeah, they don't return back. There's another one that says they go in and don't come out. But they don't return, meaning they don't come out. Excuse me? Yeah, it's a big house. Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure, it's a big house. And incidentally, this in each one of the heavens, there is a house where the angels frequent. Each heaven. The one that is lowest to us is called Bayt al-Izzah. The one that's in the seventh heaven is called Bayt al-Ma'mur. And the angels visit these houses, which we'll come to when we talk about their ibadah, their worship, inshallah. These houses in relationship to the Kaaba, the Prophet said in authentic hadith, if they were to fall, if this house, Bayt al-Ma'mur, was to fall, it would fall right on the Kaaba. Because it's right above it in rank. So right above each other. It can't be three, it will be seven. Yeah, seven. Because there's seven heavens.
There's a house in each one of the heavens.
And inshallah, let's save the questions for after. Inshallah. Inshallah. Yes, everyone. There's another hadith in Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يُتَى بِجَهَنَّمَ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لَهَا سَبْعُونَ أَلْفَ الْزِمَامِ مع كل زمام 70,000 ملك. That Jahannam, the hell, Jahannam, will be brought on that day, and there will be 70 each. The angels that bring it, they will be carrying this Jahannam, and it has 70,000 straps. Zimam is a strap. And 70,000 straps, each strap that the angels will be carrying Jahannam on that day when they bring Jahannam, it will be 70,000 angels for each strap. 70,000. And the question is for later, inshallah. Save the question. A strap is a strap, right? You know, you have a strap, a belt strap, something like that, a saddle strap. In other words, they're carrying the Jahannam. Like you carry a book bag. A handle. 70,000. Kullu zimam sab'una alfa malak. 70,000 angels for each strap.
I don't know whose math is good, but what would that make it?
What?
No. It would be 4,000. No, it would be 4,900 million angels. 4,900 million angels. 4,900 million angels. That's it. Yes. A lot of angels, huh? Okay.